Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Wow. That was quite a move of God's Spirit there. I don't have much left. I just want to welcome everybody to the Apostolic Assembly in Soldotna, Alaska, our online service. It's a rainy day here, but I want to thank God. We've had an awesome fall, and I was way behind on getting ready for the winter, and I've been able to catch up a little bit here, so I want to thank God for lengthening our fall out for me. It's been a beautiful fall, too, by the way. What can you say after a blessing like that? That was just awesome. It's awesome how much God cares about us, what a comfort he is to us, and how much he loves and loves us and how much mercy he has towards us. He's an awesome God. I want to thank him tonight for always being here for us, for each other. I want to thank Kirsten for her testimony, because the name of the teaching tonight is Comfort One Another. And as crazy as it is out there in the world today, we need a place of safety and a place of comfort to get out of the rat race that's out there. And the anger and the aggression that seems to be prevalent everywhere you look, it's just, it's heartbreaking to see innocent people being destroyed and the lack of love and compassion for mankind among each other. I'm so glad that God called us all together, and he does have a family, he does have a way, and he does comfort his people. It's a beautiful thing to live for God, to have the privilege to, he said, many are called, but few are chosen. And somewhere along the line, we must have that love for the truth. God's people all over this world have that hunger in them to want to know more about him. And just, I feel like it's a just total blessing. Why me? I've noticed in my years of living for God now that he takes the brokenhearted and the broken people to reach the brokenhearted and broken people. Because we can relate to them. We've been where they're at. And I've regretted a lot of my life, but I know that God has used a lot of it for his glory. To be able to tell people, yeah, you don't have to stay like that. You can change. You know. So glad that we're able to change. Man, wanted so much to change for so many years and couldn't do it. And then I found about receiving the Holy Ghost. I heard about it. It has to be the missing link. That's the first thing I thought about. That has got to be the missing link. I know there's a God. How do you get right with him? And I was told about the book of Acts, the first two chapters, about the salvation plan and what you have to do to be saved. And man, I had to find out if that was real or not. Praise God, it was real. That was 43 years ago. And I want to thank him for bringing me to Alaska with this body of people, particular body of people, and the love he's put in our hearts for each other, and the comfort it is to know that there is people that actually care about you and love you and will lay down their life for you. And I want to thank God for that tonight. When I was studying this thing, I ran into a little quote from somebody that said, to uplift somebody in a trying time is worth months of being on the mountaintop. And you could be the thread that either breaks the remaining thread or builds that thread up. And we always want to be a light in a dark world. I mean, that's our job, to be a light. I just love the love that God puts in us, not only for him, but for each other and for mankind. We'll start this off with John 14, verses 26 and 27. John 14, verses 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's a lot of things going on in the world, spiritually and naturally, with the viruses. And that's, I really think that this is just the start of all that. I mean, when we get a cure for this, it'll be something else. But God says that you do all you can do, and don't be afraid that I'll be there with you. I will take care of you. And so we do all we can do, but we're not afraid. We're not even afraid to die. We know what this is all about. Sometime, some place, we're all going to have to pass away into the next life. And when you're ready to do that, it's the fear, that part of fear is gone. And I want to thank God that he puts that in us, that he gives us that hope. Our second scripture is Deuteronomy 31, just one scripture. But this is our God talking to us just like he was talking to his people in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 31 and just verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is it that does go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So that's the God of all creation telling his people that do what you have to do in this life, but don't be afraid. Stay close to me, and I take care of everything else. And that's our promise, and it's up to us to stay in that place. I mean, we all have the ability, after we get the Holy Ghost, to obey this word. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes study. It takes prayer. But we can do it. He didn't make it. That's one thing I used to wonder about. How come God made it so impossible for you to get right with him and know it and be able to do it? I mean, I tried. I couldn't do it. But like I say, once you hear about God's Holy Spirit, the indwelling inside of you that gives you that power to change, then everything, the light goes on. You know, that song, I Saw the Light, well, that's what happens to you the day you get the Holy Ghost. You see the light. Praise God for that Holy Ghost. Let's turn over to Psalms 119, verse 49. And I looked into a little bit of this as far as what some of the words meant, and it was very enlightening. A whole different outlook on the way God feels about things and the way I thought about things in the natural. Psalms 119, starting in verse 47. And I will delight myself in the commandments in thy commandments, which I have loved. Do you love God's word tonight? Well, I'll tell you what, it is life and life more abundant. Verse 47, and I will delight myself in the commandments which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. And sometimes don't you just sit there and lay there praying or whatever and just think about what the commandments, what they really mean. I mean, when you meditate on something, you see a lot of different sides to things than you would just normally reading over them or just taking one or two words, okay, that's what that means. But there's a lot more to it when you meditate on it. God starts quickening your mind and you start seeing yourself and in his word and the things that you have to change. And that is a miracle. That is absolutely beautiful, man. That God cares that much about us to show us in a way, you know, spiritually that we can change naturally. You know, it means a lot to me. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And that's what his word gives us hope. It gives us hope. It tells us the beginning and the end. It tells you what we have waiting for us if we will just obey his commandments, which are not grievous. All they do is take away all the guilt, all the sorrow you had when you couldn't obey his word. It's amazing to me that mankind thinks that they got to give something up to serve God. I've had more fun, clean fun in God than I ever thought about having in the natural. I want to thank God for opening my heart up. I was incapable of really having any love in my life before. I mean, I look at what God's love is like. I had none of that, and I want to thank him that he made it possible for me to actually love and receive love. Because I remember my mom telling me, I was having a hard time. I don't remember what the whole deal was, but I said, I don't need anybody. And she gave me a hug and she says, everybody needs love, Paul. I mean, I don't need none. But I walked away from her and started crying because, yeah, I really did need love, but I didn't want to. I was too proud to show that to anybody. And so that's another thing with this virus and stuff going around. We're creatures of hugging and loving and all that stuff. We've been limited to that, and that's hard on us. That's hard on us emotionally and spiritually. Verse 50. And this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision. And that word means that people made fun of him. I looked that word up, because I really didn't know what it meant. And it talks about people mocking and making fun out of somebody because they're living for God. And I've been a recipient of that. It hasn't slowed me down any, but, you know, years later I've had people come up to me and tell me that they were impressed that I didn't let that change me, that I didn't give in to that when there was four or five guys making fun out of whatever I believe in. And I didn't know it at the time. I just knew that, hey, I love God, and he's the only one that ever died for me. I don't care what they say. I mean, that's kind of the attitude I had about it. But I had a guy come up to me about 15 years later that was a foreman on one of the platforms and tell me that was impressive, Paul, when you stood up to all them guys and when they were making fun out of you. I didn't know that, Dad. But he told me that a long time later. Wow. Because we never know what the impact that we have in others' lives. We just don't realize that sometimes. Verse 53, and horror has taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. And we know that we're just passing through this life. We are pilgrims. 55, and I have remembered thine. Are we still, can you still hear me all right? Something's changed here. Verse 54, and the statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I have had because I kept thy precept. You had great joy in keeping God's word and hope. That hope is what really lacks in that world today. Man, I tell you, I'm still trying to recover from that move of God. That's all I can do here, get my act together. Let's turn over to Romans, the 15th chapter. After we have this hope ourselves, we're to comfort each other. That's not a, you know, maybe or anything else. It's a command from God, actually. We're supposed to comfort one another with these words. Romans 15, 15th chapter, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. That every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. You think about what he went through to just to save our souls, to make a way back. Unbelievable. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience, consolation, grant you to be like-minded, one towards another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorifying God, even as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. When we show that love, that brings glory to God. Because people in the world see the way we interact with each other. It doesn't take long for anybody to know where we're from. We're from the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ. That's them people that go out there. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've heard that. On jobs, on just... I've actually heard it in the grocery store with people who don't even know who I was. I heard them talk about the church before. So that's a good thing. It should be a good thing. We want to always strive to bring God glory, no matter what we do or where we're at or who we're around. We don't compromise what we have in God to fit into the world. We just don't do it. It's not even in our vocabulary, actually. I mean, God just expects us to be different. Let's go to Galatians, the 6th chapter. We should always be willing to comfort somebody spiritually and naturally. I mean, that's just God's DNA. That's how God is, and that's how we're supposed to be. We can't get in a little bubble by ourselves and just everything's good in our world, but never reach out to anybody out of that world. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Let's start out with Let's go for verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. None of us are above crashing and burning. If God pulls back that little wall, the protective wall, we can fall. I don't care who we are. So we need to be very aware of that and show that love and kindness to each other at all times, not just when things are going good. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not another. And the Bible teaches not to compare ourselves among ourselves. Verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That means be respectful. Be respectful to each other. Verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's a very important. That any time that your natural life gets more important to you than the spiritual life, you're in a bad place. You need to stop, evaluate what's going on, and get back in the right frame of mind. Because it's natural. Will take us down. And it's very subtle too. Satan makes sure of it. Let's read verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's what we want. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due seasons we shall reap if we faint not. I know a lot of this stuff gets old. It really does. But payday's coming. And that's, you know that one song we used to sing, I Wished I'd Done More? There's not one person sitting here, not one person living for God anywhere. They won't be thinking that on that day we get out of here. I wish I had done more. Because there's always some little thing that you could probably do that, I'll wait till tomorrow, or that's not important, or somebody else will take care of it. We can't be weary in well-doing. Verse 10. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are the household of faith. That means people that are already living for God. But we need to do our best to be a good example out in this world, so by some way we can touch somebody's heart enough for them to check it out and for God to go from there. All we have to do is get them in the door. God can take over that. Let's just turn to John, the 13th chapter, just for a second here. John, the 13th chapter, verse 34 and 35. And this is what we were just talking about here, about the perception that the world would have of us if we're doing and treating not only our brothers and sisters, but everybody that we come in contact with, our coworkers, our classmates, whoever, people in the grocery store, post office, just anybody. Verse 34, John the 13th chapter, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. If we help and encourage each other, it can't help but draw us not only closer to each other, to God, and it brings glory to God. That we are a holy people in an unholy world. And that's our commission. Praise God, man. He motivates you. By his word, he motivates us. Let's go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. I saw something pretty cool in this thing. When I get to it, I'll mention it. Colossians, the third chapter, start at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness. Wow, that's hard to find anymore. Humbleness, that too. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If a man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you also do ye. Now that's something right there that's really, really important. We can't have that buried down inside of our heart for years and years and years that we were slighted about something way back when. That has to come out. God will take that away from you if you let him. But you have to seek God. Our family was very hard-hearted when you crossed. I mean, some people in our family didn't speak for years. I mean, close relations, father, son, sisters and brothers, they didn't speak for years. One that I know of, they passed away in their 80s, and they never spoke for like 50-some years. What a burden that is to carry for all them years. It's unbelievable. But I know how I felt myself about a few things before God gave me a new heart. And he's the only one that can take that stuff away. And after we got the Holy Ghost, if we still got that in there, it needs to go. I always go back to that one teaching that Alice had about if there's anything inside of you, down deep inside of you, that's not of God, it has to come out. You can't hide it forever. She said it's like a sliver in your finger. It'll just keep getting an abscess on it. God might back off for a while and then bring it back to you, but it'll always be infected. It has to go. And we have to have that bond with each other. We have to have a trust and a bond in God's family to do the work. We can't do the work without each other's help. We need each other. Forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even in Christ forgave you, you also do ye. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity. We know that's love, which is the bond of perfectness. That's what we want. We want that bond of perfectness among ourselves, and we need to treat everybody with that kind of love too. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And when I studied this particular verse right here, this verse 16, it talked about the songs that we sing. There's scripture in a lot of the songs we sing. And those scriptures in these songs also touch our heart and can show us the error of our ways or show us other ways that God's just blessing us and wanting to be close to us. But I never thought about when it says admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. I didn't think about a song doing that to me. But I had no idea it has done it to me before. I just didn't pick up on it. God's word is so cool, man. If you really want to know stuff about God, it's in here. You just got to spend enough time to look it up and study it. And he starts talking to you. And I mean, it's what a relationship, man. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, Buck used to sing that song all the time about love letters. That's what this Bible is. It's love letters to his people. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father of him. And that's the bottom line in a lot of this stuff. If we do everything unto God, not to the person, but unto God, the hard times aren't so hard in that. It's just, you know, there's times that you do things and they might be go unnoticed or you think they go unnoticed, but God sees it all. And if you do it for God, you can't lose. I mean, you're going to have the right attitude and everything's going to be good and God's going to bless you for it. And you're going to be happy. You're going to have that joy, that peace and joy that only He can give. And that's addicting. God's peace and joy is addicting. The first thing I do is take my inventory if I start losing my peace and joy. I got to have that. I didn't come to God to be miserable. I came to God to be happy. And I didn't even know how happy you could be till I got the Holy Ghost. I didn't know what real joy was till I got the Holy Ghost. I want to thank God for His love and mercy and waiting all these years to even call me. Let's turn over to Thessalonians here real quick. I was going to finish this up on the chapter before that, but the last part of it studying, I had to read this part too. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 14. Because this is really good food. I'll put it that way. This is food for the soul. I even put that down there. The Word of God is comfort food or food for the soul. It is. It's soul food. And I took a few notes here, and they were about when people aren't happy, when they're uncomfortable, they do all these different things. They, you know, they try to take the edge off that. They go shopping. They go on vacations. Some people go on binges, eating, drinking, drugs, you name it. They do all these things that they can't fill that void that only God's Spirit inside you can fill. And I want to thank Him tonight that He's filled that spot in me and He's filled all that spot in you too. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. The only way God moves is if we pray. We have to pray. And the more we pray, the more He moves. I love prayer, man. Once I got into a routine of praying all the time, man, my life did 180, and that was even after I had the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's a peace and joy that comes with every day knowing that you're close to God. There's nothing can take away from you. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's one thing. We never want to forget to be thankful to God, because we can be without in about 2 seconds. He blesses this whole congregation like you can't believe, but He can take it away as fast as He give it. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all the appearance of evil. That's another thing that's really a biggie. You don't want, just because you're not doing nothing that's really wrong, you don't want to give anybody the impression that you're even thinking about doing anything wrong. So it says, abstain from the appearance of evil. And that covers a lot of ground. But it's up to us to figure out what that ground is. And not fudge on it either. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal right there. We want to be ready to go when He comes back to get us. Faithful is He that called you, who also will do it. God doesn't have any problem holding His end of the deal up. It's up to us. Brethren, pray for us greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And here's number 7, or 27, it's pretty interesting. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. But he charged them, you make sure that you read this to people. They need to hear this thing. They need to hear it and obey it. But if you don't hear it, you're not that accountable. But once you hear it, you are accountable. So let's finish this up here in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 9. This is our hope here. This is what this is all about. This is everything we ever wanted and more. All rolled into a little four or five verses. We need to keep our eye on the prize. That's what we need to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it towards all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Now he's talking about that love, that, you know, you don't get to a point where you love and that's the end of it. You keep growing in your love towards each other. And we're always growing. I mean, we're never going to get there all the way until that trumpet sounds. So we can't let off thinking we got it made. It ain't going to happen. Verse 11. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. And that means don't be a busybody. Don't have your nose in everybody else's stuff. Take care of your own business. Study. Keep all that stuff to yourself. Do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly towards them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. That's our God. He doesn't want us to lack anything. Verse 13, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So we know that all our loved ones passed on, that was full of the Holy Ghost, are sitting there waiting for us right now. The first thing I thought about was Ron when I read this. Man, there ain't no way he'd want to go back to this. Now that he's there. Man. I mean, you know, you love them, you miss them and all that, but I'll tell you, they're happy where they're at. You know, it's hard to, you can't put that into really words or anything, but once in a while you get a little glimpse of it. This glory land, man. Can't wait to get there. I want to read that again. But 13, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have that hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of our Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That means that he's going to raise them up before he even comes to us. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Man, that's going to be awesome. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is our hope right here. Praise God. He puts in his word. We can go to it any time of the day. We all got smartphones. You can be anywhere. You can be sitting at a stop sign somewhere and get that feeling. Pull into a gas station and I've had to pull over quite a few times. People looked at me like I was crazy a couple of times, but I didn't care. One time on an airplane, God started moving on me. I mean, I was in the middle seat, too. I mean, I just started bawling my head off, man. Some guy looked at me like, I said, I'll tell you about this in a little bit. I had to go for it, man. I had to go for it. This is a wonderful life, man, living for God. This is a wonderful life. Anybody that don't know about this, receiving this Holy Spirit, like it is in the first two chapters of the book of Acts, please, if you're out there in cyberland, check it out. Everybody in this church has had this experience. God's got a people all over this world that love him, that have obeyed his word. This is a salvation for everybody that was ever born on this side of the cross. Please look into it. And as we close tonight, get down and seek God for that comfort, not only for yourself, but for others. Because if you pray, God, show me, give me a tender heart towards people, a compassionate, loving heart towards people. Let me see their needs so I can help them. He will show you. And then it's up to us to do something about it. But that's the kind of guy we serve. You got to ask him for stuff. But when you do, he'll reward you. You know, just love God for being so tender-hearted to us, loving us. His mercy, too. Without that mercy, we'll never make it. Anyway, thank you for your attention, and we love you all, and find a place to pray.